Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Clergy, and dear faithful, today we celebrate the solemnity of the seven sorrows of Our Lady. She is called the Queen of Martyrs because of the horrible sorrow and pain which anguished her soul when her son Jesus was crucified. But still, she did not pity herself or complain because she had to suffer so much during her life, but she carried it with faithful resignation and love. Our Lady also offered her sorrows to God for our sakes. She is our mother, and because she loves us dearly, she was happy to suffer that we might someday share her joy with our Lord in heaven. We also offer today prayers for our sick and shut-in, and to all those who and for all those who suffer the ache of soul or body or both. We have numerous sick all over the country, really, who are prevented from attending Mass and receiving the sacraments because they are not able to depart from their sick bed. So we pray that they'd be restored to health so that they would be able to return to church, the Mass, and the sacraments. What does it mean then to be restored to health? Unlike one might think, it doesn't mean just being healed from bodily sickness. In the prayer which the priest recites after he has given the sacrament of extreme unction, he says, O our Redeemer, cure, we beseech thee, by the grace of the Holy Ghost, the ailments of this sick man, heal his wounds and forgive his sins. Deliver him from all miseries of body and mind, and mercifully restore him to perfect health, inwardly and outwardly. We see from this prayer that while we, of course, pray that the sick person might be healed from his wounds, we also ask that God would heal him from his sins, that is, that his sins might be forgiven. Only if he will be healed, both inwardly and outwardly, will he be completely healed. When we pray for our sick, we therefore pray for them to either remain in God, to return to God, or be forgiven by God. And because modern society has no concept of sin, it is terrified of the ideas of sickness and death. The modern man does not fear God. He's not afraid of sin. He doesn't believe in heaven or hell. So the one thing he can't stand is the thought of death, of which sickness is a concrete reminder. And the devil, he has from the start tried to convince people that they don't need to die. Do you remember the book of Job in the Bible? The devil told God that Job, who was God's faithful servant, would curse his Lord if misfortunes would fall on him. Have you ever paid attention that on the first time when the devil was trying Job, he took away first his cattle, his livelihood, then killed all his servants, and then all his children? And faithfully, Job merely said, Our Lord gave, and our Lord hath taken away. As it hath pleased our Lord, so is it done. May the name of our Lord be blessed. When God praised Job that he did not fall into temptation but resisted it, the devil then said very remarkable words, skin for skin, and all things that a man hath he will give for his life. Otherwise, put thy hand and touch his bone and flesh, and then shalt thou see that he will curse thee in the face. Satan had failed in his first try against Job, and he now claims to God that Job doesn't care so much for worldly possessions, but he does care for health and outward appearance, namely for his skin, bone, and flesh. So Satan struck Job with leprosy, a loathsome and painful disease. His body was covered with ulcers, and all men shunned him on account of the horror and contagion of his disease. So did you notice? Satan took away Job's property, no effect in his fidelity. He took away his servants. Job was faithful as ever. He even took away all his children. Job suffered it faithfully and even gave thanks to God. It was only very last that Satan took away Job's health. Devil is an angel smarter than any man, and he knew that if this doesn't work, nothing will. And this pattern the enemies of the church have followed ever since. In this current madness, when whole societies can be locked down and people shut into their homes or hospitals or nursing homes, we have seen how terrified people are at the mere thought of sickness and death. But this is what happens when people lose their sense of sin and of the fact that sickness and death are punishment from sin. When this happens, they get the obsession that sickness and suffering is something which must be avoided at all cost. For the people of the world, sickness is a concrete reminder of mortality. If a person lives only for this world and doesn't believe in heaven or hell, this world and its pleasures are all he can cling into. So similarly, even a most faithful soul can waver when he's smitten by sickness, especially if he's in pain and he's suffering. That's why devil saved the worst for the last. But even though Job did waver, he did not fall. And if we want our sick and ailing friends and family members not to waver and fall to the prey of the enemy, we need to pray for them. So you see, we need to pray for the sick because they are in danger. Not so much because they are in danger of body, that of course differs how severe illness is. But we must pray for them because they are in danger of mind. Even the strongest minds can collapse under sickness and pain. There's really nothing what a man esteems, whether he realizes it or not, more than his health. We also need to pray for the sick because the sickness they are in might be their last one. And the sick person needs special help and care because the sick bed of a faithful soul is the last chance the devil has to snatch this soul from God. But we Catholics, we should always also trust to the great help and mercy of God and intercession of Mary, our mother. We should never, like the world does, see death as something horrifying which must be avoided at all cost. But we should see that death is the departure from this world and homecoming of the faithful soul. When the person is preparing for death, one needs to call the priest so he can come and anoint the person and absolve him so that he is ready to enter his particular judgment. A couple of days ago, I said the prayers of the dying for our faithful Sunday High Mass usher, Mike Briggs. And those prayers, they give so many beautiful reminders of the saints of the past ages. Besides Job, there is mentioned Isaac, who was rescued from sacrifice by the word of an angel. Pious Susanna, who was rescued from her horrible distress by Prophet Daniel. Courageous David, who was rescued from the schemes of King Saul and Goliath. And Holy Thecla, who was rescued from the claws of ferocious lions. The Church prays that just like these saints of the past, the sick person might remain stranger to the punishments for sin, and that devil and his minions would stay far, far away. As the Church prays, let them vanish like smoke or as wax before the fire, and may Christ, the Son of the living God, place him in the ever-verdant gardens of his paradise. Finally, we don't pray for our sick and departed friends, family, and benefactors just out of charity, but also because it is our duty. Those who have helped us in life, it is our obligation to help them when they are in need. We had the Pontifical Mass yesterday for the conferral of subdiaconate to our four seminarians. I was the subdeacon of the Mass, and when I was carrying the book of the Gospels in the entrance procession, I felt a little uneasy when we were processing down, and I was wondering why. And then I realized when we got to the main entrance from the outside to the vestibule that it's because Mike wasn't there. For years, he stood on guard at the entrance so that people who came to the Mass late, and usually there were some who did, would not bump into the procession of the clergy and servers. And for years, he also served Saturday morning Masses and was in charge of the speaker system at our Fatima Rosary procession. We who were served so faithfully by him for so many years, we owe our prayers to him. And so also to everyone who has ever helped any one of you in any way, whether parent, friend, or benefactor, to him prayers in the moment of need are due. Sickness and death are punishments from sin, but they are also means of purification from sin. And departure from this land of tears means a faithful soul's entrance into heaven, where sickness, death, and suffering are no more. As Saint Augustine so beautifully summarizes, Lord, here cut, here burn, and spare me not, but spare me in eternity. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.